Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out on a very cold, windy morning. Mm-hmm. We'll be in question 11 this morning. This will be part A of three. We're going to be discussing the decrees of God. The question is, what are the decrees of God? Answer, the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His own will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Let us ask the Lord's help this morning. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for the opportunity, just the pure, sheer opportunity and blessing to become before You, Lord, to come in this house this morning and meet with You, Father. We pray that You prepare our hearts, that You give us eyes to see and ears to hear what You have for us this morning, Lord, in the Sunday school hour as well as in the service. We praise You, Lord. I ask above all things that our Lord Jesus Christ be magnified this morning. Help us this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right. Let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1. And this morning we're going to concentrate just on the eternal purpose of the decree of God. The writer of this catechism, Brother Benjamin Keach, started in Ephesians right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says here, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And we see here that God works all things for the counsel of His own will. And we see that the purpose of what everything that He's done is the basis of salvation of a fallen mankind. Let's look at some proof texts going into this. Let's look at chapter 3 of Ephesians in verse 11. Paul says here, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, talking about God the Father, the purpose being in Christ Jesus to where He at His cross would reconcile the whole world unto Himself, being the perfect sacrifice that none of us could be. Look also at Romans chapter 8. Verses 28 and 29. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. The part there where He says where He might be the firstborn. Throughout the duration of time where men had fallen and God had shown grace to men in the Old Testament, all this time passed until there was a firstborn, a perfect sacrifice, that those of us who are in Him, who have put our faith in Christ, we are that second part right there. Look also at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, speaking of Christ, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Look also at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now remember, we're speaking of the eternal purposes of God, and these first few scriptures that we're going through, we're looking at the salvation of God's elect. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We see here a foreordained calling before the foundation of the world. Also that in him all the fullness would dwell. Brothers and sisters, what it is this. We cannot in and of ourselves attain righteousness. There's a perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that was accepted by the Father, that he sent for himself. As he showed us in the Old Testament with Abraham and Isaac, Abraham told Isaac, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. Let's switch gears here now and go to Daniel chapter 12. And the sobering truth of the eternal purpose of God is not only the salvation of his elect, but in the process of time, they are wicked men and wicked women who will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord has given us many warnings in the scripture of this, of those who will not turn to him in repentance and faith. The second part this morning we'll look at is the damnation of the wicked. Daniel chapter 12. I'm having trouble finding it. Verse 2. Daniel said that, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. In Matthew 25, where Jesus laid out a few parables speaking of the end of time. Look at verse 46, the very last verse of the chapter. He just gave the parable of the sheep and the goats here. And our Lord stated, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. We'll read verses 11 through 15. Speaking of the final judgment here, the great white throne judgment. And John says here, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose the face, the earth, and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There's another passage of scripture, the place escapes me, but it says that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. To stand there that day and not be covered with the blood of Christ, what a fearful, fearful day. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a sobering truth that there are some, there are many, that reject the gospel of Christ. Mm-hmm. I pray this to be a warning that would wake you to righteousness that you cannot find in yourself. You need an alien righteousness to cover you. I'd like to end this morning with a passage of scripture in Psalm chapter 65. And this is the hope that we have of us who the Lord has been gracious to reveal himself to. Psalm 65, verses 2 and 4. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. And here it is right here, brethren, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest us to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Come to Christ today if you don't know him. Forsake your self-righteousness. Forsake all that you've done, all the church attendance that you've had, all things that you count as favor that you may have harbored with God. It will not work. Throw yourself at the mercy of Jesus' cross. Trust in what he did in your place. Believe the gospel, people. Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you pay the ultimate price, dear God. Thank you that while we were yet dead in our sins, dear God, you sent Christ to die for us. I'm reminded of a song I used to sing when I was a child. What a hopeless case, what an empty place, if not for grace. Lord, we praise you. We give you glory and honor, Father. We pray that you take your word that was spoken this morning, Lord, and you send it forth to accomplish what you will it to do. Please help us this day, Father. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.